Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, it's time to talk about dogs and how many of them are unsung heroes who serve in search and rescue, military, and in therapy. Today's Big Blend Radio show is dedicated to Veterans Day and our veterans, those who have served our country. And we have travel writer Corey Solomon back on the show to talk about dogs. Normally, she's on our second Friday food, wine, travel show with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association talking about wine. But today, she's going to talk about dogs, and she knows all about dogs. She is, she has Salukis, and she travels with them and goes to dog shows. And so anyway, she's on to talk about dogs today, and I encourage you to go to her website, writtenpalette.com. So welcome back, Corey. How are you?
I am great. It's a great day today.
It is a great day today, and very excited. And so I do want to tell listeners that if you hear weird noises, Nancy and I pet sit as we travel across the country on our Love Your Park store. And today I have two pugs sitting at my feet, and they are both snoring. And so they snore and snort, so it's kind of appropriate. But I don't think pugs would make it into search and rescue. Do you think so, Corey?
Oh, they might.
They might. You never know what dog, but typically most dogs in search and rescue, no. But, you know, military dogs, I don't know. But, you know, we've had military mascots. Some of them have been small. So, you know, I think it really depends. But most dogs are your bigger breed dogs for both search and rescue and for military use. Mm-hmm.
What about terriers? Because terriers are pretty, like, I always think we've had the National Search and Rescue Foundation on our show, National Disaster Search Dogs Foundation, excuse me. And I know you cover this in your article, and everyone up on blendradioandtv.com, just type in Veterans Day or Dog Soldier, you know, you'll find Corey's article on there. But you talk about that foundation, and I know it was many years ago, I'm going to say probably 10 years ago, they were on the show with Regina Leeds talking about, and she's the Zen organizer, but she's also volunteers at this foundation. They were talking about dogs that are in search and rescue, like at 9/11, that they use these dogs, and they're those almost like they'll just keep going. Your dog needs to be one of those dogs that keep going after a ball, that will play with a ball in the yard like nonstop. And from what we've discovered, terriers seem to fit that bill for some reason, just going after the ball. You know,
well, or the ones I've met, because I've done a couple events with the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation. Most of them have been bigger dogs. They're your Labradors, Golden Retrievers, Border Collies. Those are the ones what most of the dogs are. I specifically have not seen where it's been a terrier. So, but I'm sure they do. It just, you know, it's interesting to see how they must be toy driven, or, you know, and some of the dogs don't make it, even though they think they've got that quality, they just don't make it. And then they do place them in homes, which is another good part of this National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
And I think it's interesting about how dogs, that we use them in World War II. I know we were talking about that with Trevor Jones on our show a couple of months ago, but dogs, they were dog soldiers, where families sent their pets to Nebraska to be trained to be part of World War II. And it was interesting in your article, you touch on, not only are they part of the service, But these dogs, part of it is actually to help those who are out in war, the fighters, the soldiers, that the dogs are there to comfort them too.
It is, because I'll use a battalion or whatever the different groups are. I'm not totally, I don't know all the military lingo, but, you know, when a member of their team, when they lose a member of their team, you know, they feel that. And I'm talking about a human member.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs can comfort. And that's really important, especially when you're if you think of yourself in a battle. And, you know, I'm looking at it from my perspective, you know, it would be, to me, very scary. I would not be qualified to be in the military, that's for sure. But, you know, you need something like that. I mean, it's very helpful.
It's interesting,
like,
because a lot of firehouses have dogs too, Nancy. Don't you think? Isn't there always a firehouse dog?
The Dalmatian was historically the dog of choice. And I read later, a long time ago, because I used to have Dalmatians, a lot of Dalmatians are born deaf. And then I was thinking, well, maybe it's the fire engine sound. Maybe that's why they chose a Dalmatian, because a lot of them would not react to the sirens. I don't know. Just thinking about it that way. It's interesting. But
I don't know myself.
Yeah, Dalmatians are incredibly loyal dogs, but they can go a little frazzled. You know, because we had so many kids in our family, and I think the Dalmatians were a little bit like, wow, this is too many for me. But, you know, but they're sweet dogs. They really are.
Mm. Yeah. So they help, they also go out. You talk about military mascots, but you were talking about a dog, Suji, that is a sea dog. So we've got dogs that are going out to World War II, but there's firehouse dogs. I mean, we also know Border Patrol uses dogs. They sniff out cocaine coming over the border, or weed, or whatever's going on. And you have them at airports. Dogs are used, canine dogs. I mean, think about the mounted policemen on horseback. So, you know, horses and dogs, I think, those two animals, and mules and donkeys, have been used by human beings for centuries. And dogs often get overlooked. So that's why I'm really glad you brought this up, Corey. But Suji, Suji went on a submarine. They put a dog on a submarine.
Weird. Yeah. The crew found the dog, and he went for 5 combat tours. So he was definitely a part of the crew. And I think it helped a lot from what, you know, I'm getting the story from my husband, because it was my father-in-law's, he was on that ship for, remember how many tours. So yeah, so this is a story that I heard, you know, I didn't find out about till after my father-in-law passed away. So, but when I found that, we started researching, looking through all his naval paperwork. So, you know, it was kind of fun to put that together. And I always said, I'm going to get that article together for Memorial Day. And that's when I published the article on him. But, I saw where the dog was helped them know when a bomb was detonated. He could he could hear it before the crew did, and he'd get down on the ground and let them know. Sorry, the word is depth charges. It's not a, you know, so, but, you know, at the same time, he brought them joy on the boat. I mean, they used to feed him ice cream, and he'd sleep on all their bunks, and, you know, so he was a part of the crew that helped humanize, I guess is the best word, this period of time that was obviously very challenging.
Mm.
Well, they do have a, dogs have a superior sense of sight, smell, you know, and smell and hearing that we don't have. So, you know, it makes sense that they could help out once they understand what is needed and expected of them. Dogs are incredibly loyal to humans as long as they're treated fairly and correctly. They're, you know, it's like they think of us as part of their pack and they join in and, you know, they're not one of those like a loner animal like a leopard is never going to join a pack and help a human. That's not their deal. But a dog is used to a pack. So we are a substitute for their natural pack. And they join in and do what they can. And they have, like I said, superior sense of sight, hearing, and smell that we don't have.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I remember doing an article. Actually, it's one I won an award for with the Dog Writers Association, a winery dog. But they brought him on because the vineyard overseer was deaf, so the dog was his ears. And then what was interesting about it is later in life this dog became blind, so this dog helped a handicapped person and then became handicapped and needed to help. And it was a great story.
Yeah,
but, you know, it shows how we in return need to help, can help them too. And one of the things you find, and I'm going to go back to search and rescue, because is the handler for each of the search and rescue becomes very attached to these dogs, so that when they retire, they don't have to find a new home. They stay with, usually stay with the handler, and then the handler gets a new search and rescue dog. So I was emailing Abby was one that went to 9/11, and I just happened to be in getting information about Pearl, who we can talk about in a minute. She mentioned to me she still misses Abby, you know. So they really play a profound part of their life, even because after they retire, they're not working dogs anymore. They're pets. They still love, and as is what I was told about Pearl. Is, and then we can get into the story, is she still loved her toys to the very end. And so when they do pass on, it's a hard loss for the handler because they become very attached.
Yes. Yep. I know as just us doing pet sitting, we have these moments where you do bond with the animals and, you know, you're
so
like
fun.
The replacement family for the family that's on vacation. And some of these dogs are used to someone being home all the time. So you're there and they know their routines. I mean, they don't have a clock, but they have a clock. They have a dog clock
they
and
do.
They know when
internal
they get fed.
Clock.
They know treat time. They know walking time. They know TV time. Dogs
absolutely
know TV time. It's absolutely crazy. People, I want to tell everybody, put in your guidebook when TV time is, but you don't need to because the dogs will let you know it's time to turn the TV on.
And
so I know cats do it too. But there's this thing where you really do bond with the dogs, and some of them sleep with you and everything, which is fine with us for sure. But when you have this new language with a dog, each thing is different, but you end up, you communicate in a way, you know, just through looking at each other and just the voice and recognizing habits. Okay, this is your, or personalities, their character, just like you would a human being, because, you know, it's body language that you have this communication with. But when we leave, I don't care if it's two nights that we're staying or a week or a month.
I know, it's so sad.
You get the owners come back. Well, I shouldn't say owners. The homeowners, the pet parents come back, and you're like, you know, you almost want to say, you can't come here. This is our dog now. You get all, you get
my
teary-eyed.
Dog now.
Yeah, I know. It's like you get teary-eyed, and it's, you drive off, and you have this absolute somber time in the car where we're like, we're going to cry. And you really get upset. And it's the same thing when you lose one. When one does go over the Rainbow Bridge, it's a really difficult thing because they are so part of your family. And they remember you. There's dogs that will meet us once. We did that recently with a pet sit. We met the dogs
for one afternoon, one lunch with the pet parents, and we went there at night, you know, and they weren't there. They'd already traveled on, and those dogs remembered us. And
well,
so
sure.
It is amazing to me about how connected dogs are. I mean, it's just that. So I can imagine for someone who serves and the horrors they're going through every single day, and also what comes home when, you know, military men and women and, you know, police force, the armed forces go home or come home from a tour, they have been through something very traumatic. So I can imagine the importance of a dog for them when they come home, too. They're part of us.
Yes. Well,
I love dogs, man. I love dogs.
But think about how many times you see, and I think I just saw on the internet, a soldier comes back and he's befriended a stray dog, and they're trying to find ways to get that dog back to the United States for the soldier.
Mm.
And, you know, so they do play, even the dogs that they find, that it kind of plays a part in that, in, you know, they become attached. It doesn't, you know.
But there are, you know, to me, animals are people. They're just people in a different form.
With fur.
You know,
unless you're a Mexican,
yeah.
Short hair.
Well, no, they're just people in a different form. They have the same emotions. They really do.
And
if you, even, you know, I know people think, okay, mammals may or may not have emotions, but if you're going to say an animal form will have emotions, they're going to look at dogs and cats, but they're not going to look at birds as having emotions. And quite frankly, I have to go out there and say you're really wrong about that. Every living thing has emotions. Yeah, mm-hmm. They really do. You can see anger when a bird gets mad. You can see that. So I don't know. I just think we're always putting ourselves so far above everything else that's living. And I just think that maybe we should dial back on that a bit.
It sounds like Colonel Brandon agrees with you, Nancy. Colonel Brandon.
Yeah, no, I love Colonel Brandon.
Mark, I don't know if our listeners can hear
Colonel ever.
I know.
You're babysitting the appropriate dog, Colonel Brandon.
Yes, Colonel Brandon.
He's
Lenny. I want to say Lenny Bruce, but then that's a comedian that was a naughty comedian, so I can't call him Lenny Bruce, but I keep doing it. But yeah, I mean, this connection, I mean, is that something for you too, Corey? I know with your Salukis, you travel with them. Part of what you do as a travel writer, I want to touch on this because this is part of, you know, who you are and what you do is, you know, being with Salukis and traveling with them and going to the hotels that, you know, allow dogs.
Yes, I do. I do travel, not now, but I do travel a lot with my dogs. And it's, you know, first of all, a lot of times I'm traveling alone. So it is, there is someone there with you. And it's just not another human, it's a dog, but you'll find you talk to them a lot too when you're traveling alone, you know. And I've brought they've come up along with me on some of the travel writing ventures that we go on, and you know, it makes it a lot does make it easier. I enjoy it, you know. It also forces you to take walks, you travel at a different pace. I remember we've gone a couple times. This was back in the 80s and 90s. I took my dogs to Europe, and one, it opens a conversation with Europeans, so which is kind of nice. I mean, we had some very funny conversations, but it also, and you're going to laugh, the dogs get to have jet lag too. And because I remember one hotel that locked their doors, they said, and I had to ask to go out because the dog needed to go out at like 3 a.m, which isn't typical. And he said, "Do they always do that?" And I go, "No, it has jet lag, you know." So, you know, but it does force you to slow because you have to make sure you give them their walking time, the different things you have to do, that, you know, you make sure you have to look out for them as well as yourself. But you do go at a different pace, and maybe it makes you appreciate some things more because you are you're not just doing the touristy things. You're walking around seeing and having people stop and talk to you. So you're meeting the people in whatever place that you're.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're visiting.
So, and it's a good way to meet, you know, if you're looking for a new date. Sometimes dogs go to a dog park.
I never had to worry about that. Although my husband did have to pass the dog test.
No, you know, but exactly right, the dog test. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, for those out there, I don't do that. But it is, you know, being pet sitters, like some dogs are cool with travel. Some dogs really want to stay at home with their routine. And the pet sitting thing, we walk dogs. And it's, you're absolutely right about slowing down and travel. You're now becoming more of a local when you do this. You're walking their community parks, maybe the downtown. There's all kinds of places you can go with dogs. And then it starts to teach you about, do people, you have community parks and places where dogs can go walkies and be comfortable. So I think it's a really, I like it personally. I love our dog walks. But just staying on travel, Corey, you know, as we travel, we go to historic sites, a lot of national historical parks and monuments. All of that are part of it. And part of your article, too, really highlights some of these monuments that are out there. You have a military women's memorial. You have memorials and monuments. And some of these monuments and memorials, you have one that's a monument for the military working dog program manager. So there is actual historic sites we can put on our GPS as we travel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they, you know, the dog is getting recognized too, because if you think about it in battle, it's the scouts who are the first to go into the battlefield. Well, the scouts have the dogs to go out, so they're one of the first to go out. And I guess they would be the first to have the most risk being one of the first.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that the dogs, and then for them to even get on airplanes and stuff like you were talking about, that's a whole other deal, you know, that they're going through. And imagine going to war with your dog is now here, you're going off to war. Even think about World War II. The airplanes were not the same airplanes as we're used to. It's not first class with champagne with your dog. You know, unless maybe if it was a Chihuahua now, you know, remember the whole thing with Chihuahuas in your bag? People did, but, and still do. But when you look at them taking dogs overseas, being on those planes and military aircraft, that had to be scary for the dogs. You had to have that relationship to get through that together, that bond.
Well, I also think many of them were also on ships. And if you think they're not like our luxury liners, or, I mean, I remember my husband took me on a version of the submarine that my father-in-law was on. And I went, you know, I'm coming from a different era. It's so cramped. It's like, you know, it's not what, you know, it's basic. And, you know, but that was how a lot of them initially got away from home. I mean, for my father-in-law, that was the most exciting time of his life, and he always talked about it. So, you know, it was a different kind of different time than what we have today. So it's hard to compare. I mean, I know they have military dogs now, But, you know, even when I've seen the search and pictures of search and rescue flying on planes today, it looks a lot nicer than it probably did then, you know.
Mm. Well, when we go to San Antonio, Nancy, we need to go to the Military Working Dog Team's National Monument. We need
cool.
to go do that. Yeah.
Sure.
We need to do that and check that out because it's a national monument. It's got to be on our list to do. And, you know, and I'm glad that they do have, you know, dogs represented in this because I think they get forgotten. It's kind of like they're almost just part of the family. So, you know how we forget to be nice to our family. Sometimes we're nicer to our friends. You know what I mean? Like, we need to really understand that and see that. But some of these sculptures of the dogs are just so dead on. It's amazing. It's amazing how they capture that, you know, and we can put that on our list as we travel. All of us can. And just stop at the military sites. You know, that these monuments are important for that. To stop at all of them.
It makes you think, mm-hmm. you know, of mm-hmm. things you forget about. You might have learned, you know, a bit of it in history and in school, and then it's not in your mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to a monument, it makes you really think about what went into building different countries and how we got to where we are now. Whether mm-hmm. you like where we are now or not, it, you know, steps forward. Wasn't just mm-hmm. humans. Never has been. It's always been more than humans. It's with dogs and horses and different animals like that we use for food. We're not here doing everything on our own by ourselves. That's mm-hmm. no. Uh-uh.
So we basically, I know this is Veterans Day programming, but it's Veterans Day and Memorial Day to honor our canine friends both those days. And we should honor them every day. You know, that's mm-hmm. why I'm glad you have this article. It's something that we should always go back to. I want to go back to Suji because Suji, the photos of Suji, Suji is so cute. This does not look like a military dog that's going to kick butt. But Suji is cute. That is just the cutest.
Well, that
if you look
picture,
at the photos.
One was when he was a puppy, and they found him as a puppy I don't know where exactly, but, you know, they found him wandering the streets and they brought him on and the captain allowed the dog. In fact, the captain took the dog at the end. But he grew into a big dog from the pictures I could find. So,
yeah,
you know, so if he was as big as he looked from the pictures, he took up a lot of space on those bunks and they were small.
Probably had his own,
you know.
Yeah, like his own little bunk, you know. It's amazing to see those photos going back in time. Now, the one lady that you also, we do have to, Pearl is so cute. I mean, it's just like you just wouldn't think, you know. But there was also the Military Women's Memorial. I think that's really important, too, when we think about, we've got to think about women in military. It's something also that's not discussed as much, and I think that's important. So many women serve. And when you see what women go through to make it through the boot camp and the trials to make it into being a full-fledged, you know, I'm out there on the front lines. It's incredible the strength of these women go through to do this. And it's cool that some of them have been able to work with dogs as well. So you're covering that too, which is neat.
Well, it was kind of interesting because someone sent me the article about this memorial, which just opened up. And I guess the artist that they chose for the sculpture was actually, most of her sculptures are dogs. And I realized when I was going through it that, and looking at some of her sculptures, because she's done a lot of military dog sculptures, but she's done others too. And when I had gone and I want to say 2010 or 2012 to the AKC Museum of the Dog, my dog happened to step up in front of one of her sculptures, and I was looking back at the pictures and I'm going, that's her sculpture. And so she's known for doing these. And so, you know, I thought it was interesting that she, let me give you her name, if I can find it. Her name is Susan Bahari. And I thought it was interesting that when she was asked to do the Woman's Monument sculpture that she chose to include a dog in the sculpture. So I thought it was very poignant.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's important. Now, Pearl was a search and rescue dog. Pearl, you'd look at Pearl, and she was more on the therapy side, right? Search and rescue.
No,
but,
she with Pearl.
Yeah,
Pearl
she was
search
and
rescue.
Wow.
She was honored. I actually had met Pearl, and I also did a drawing of Pearl. I didn't include that in the pictures I sent you, but I did do. She impacted me quite a bit, and so she went to, I think, Haiti. She went to Fiji as search and rescue. She became ASPCA's Hero Dog of the Year, and that's when I was asked. I had already started writing about her because of the way I discovered her, but then the ASPCA asked me to write about her when she received her honor. And so I went through a lot, and I just found out that she had passed away. So because I'm attached to her, there's going to be one more article about Pearl. I just haven't done it yet. So she went through, I don't know how many, I think she's gone through more, been on more search and rescue calls abroad, because she was on her, Ron, her handler, he is on the International Task Force team. So they're the ones that go to out on the internet, a lot of international ones. That's why she was in Haiti and she went to Japan.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for bringing this to everyone's attention. You know, I know many of us probably have heard of search and rescue dogs and military dogs and armed forces, dogs in the armed forces, but it's just really good to re-highlight and keep them in our forefront, because they do a lot, just like I say, like horses and everything. You know, so many animals are part of our livelihood and have made it possible for us to live. Before you go, Corey, I did want to ask, what's up with you and Salukis? Is there a certain thing about Salukis for you? Is it something, did you have Salukis as a kid?
Nope. There's a funny story about it. I saw this in a newspaper, an ad for a Saluki, and I called my mom and I said, can you look this up? And she said, you know, this fits you. They're tall, sleek dogs, and I'm very petite. And you know how a lot of people look like their dogs? I guess I look like the Saluki.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but.
And it just sort of happened that, you know, I got involved with the breed.
Uh-oh.
Someone's talking now. I got involved with the breed, and I got hooked. And, you know, I just, you know, got more and more into the breed. And that, so I've had Salukis. The family has had Salukis since the mid-70s. I got my first Saluki, but we didn't end up it's a long story, but she got out. And we never found her. So my mom kept Salukis from that point on. But I really got my first Salukis in the mid-80s. Have been hooked on them ever since.
Wow. Well, the pugs are saying hello to your Salukis. I'll tell you that. You know, we've been doing recordings all day long, and this one they decide to bark on just about every few minutes here. So there you go.
It's appropriate.
They know. They're like, hello, you're talking about my peoples, man. So that's really cool. They're very sweet. All dogs rock, man. It's awesome. But, yeah, people do look like their dogs. It is interesting. And you know, there's something. I think it's like even when you look at couples, people are attracted to certain things that are connected to themselves. You know what I mean? So.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, it's some couples you go like, you could be a brother and sister, you know, oopsie. You know? It's just an interesting. Well, that's what. No, I don't mean it that way. I mean how biology is. Okay, I'll stop talking now. All right. Obviously, you need to keep moving on. But Corey, we want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for the awesome article. Everyone, again, it's on blendradioandtv.com. Also, keep up with Corey and her travels. Go to writtenpalette.com. We also want to give a shout out to our shows every second Friday with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association, and keep up with them, ifwtwa.org, and follow them on social media if you love to travel. You'll see stories from travel writers around the world, and especially if you're armchair traveling right now or getting ready to plan trips, you know, COVID's up and down, but keep yourself entertained and keep up to what's going on in different places across the country by following IFWTWA on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And so we always love to play music. And since this is a special show about military dogs and our military forces, which are part of them, and today's show is all about Veterans Day and honoring those who have served, this is a song called Colors of the USA. We want to play that. This is by Doreen Taylor, and she wrote this song connected to our National Park Service, because our National Park Service, not only do we have places like Yosemite and Yellowstone, but we also have numerous historic sites. In fact, 3/4 of our National Park Service are historical destinations. Doesn't mean there isn't nature, though, but this song is dedicated to our national parks and also our historic sites. So it's called Colors of the USA. You can keep up with Doreen at DoreenTaylorMusic.com. Thanks so much for joining us, Corey. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Every day is so-